Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you disgusted? I am.
It hurts, doesn't it? All your dreams, dust. Hops down the fucking drain.
What's happening, guys? Welcome to the Dynasty Warzone, the People's Dynasty podcast, a proud streaming partner of Player Profiler. On today's show, we are going to talk about dynasty sophomores. And are these dynasty sophomores going to surge, or do we need to purge them off our rosters? Who I will never purge. You know him. He is my co-host. He is, in fact, the man of the hour and the man with the power. Jerry Sinclair, what's up, buddy?
Nothing. Thank you. Listen, if there was anybody I would actually put a bet on that would be the first person to drive to my house in the event of a purge, I thought for sure you were going to be there, but I'm good, man. Memorial Day weekend, we're talking football like psychopath degenerates. How are you?
Dude, I'm great, and I'm great because we have a great guest. We haven't had a guest yet since we've been doing the Player Profiler Roto Underworld joint venture. But for those that are normally subscribed to the Roto World Player Profiler YouTube, this man is no stranger. If you watch the Sonic Truth Dynasty podcast, then you know him as the moderator. I would call him the host. You may know him as the moderator, but you may also catch him on Roto Wire. He has a great show of his own. I've been fortunate enough to be on there with him. His name, of course, Adam Seslowski.
Alan, oh my God. So I
got to tell you the running joke behind that. So I super apologize. God, this is horrible, but I've got to tell the truth because I didn't get it out in the preamble. So my wife and I go to a church, and they have a, we'll call him a B-list pastor, and his first name's Adam. And I always joke, and it drives her crazy. I call him Alan. I call him Aaron. I call him Arnold. I call him everything but Adam, and it pisses him off. And I even told her tonight, I was like, I'm going to call Alan Adam. And I was like, I'm going to look like a real dick. Congratulations. I saw the future. But Alan, man, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Well, you guys said you never had a guest, but you know, it's probably better off. You guys are in a good rhythm. I've seen your show. You guys have it down. And sometimes having a guest can be intrusive. You know what I'm saying? It's like a booth of three is a tough thing to manage. Obviously, we're all pros here. We're just hanging out on a Sunday night. But I can understand. And, you know, guest is fun once in a while, but you guys have a good little back and forth going.
The real reason we don't do it is because normally I'm in the top two of the members of a podcast, and I get dropped down to the bronze whenever somebody comes on.
Well, you guys are selling us a little bit differently. I'm excited. I love guest season. I love a different voice. Now, a three-man booth can be an interesting booth, but I am stoked. So before we get into just talking about the YouTube real quick, and we got to move into good people, bad tweets, What's going on with RotoWire? I did your show a couple of weeks ago on Friday, and I know you've been doing a lot of stuff. What's going on with RotoWire?
Yeah, well, RotoWire was bought by another company about a year and a half ago, a company called Gambling.com, right? So since they have taken over the company, it just it things are even getting even better than they already were. They have access to just all these different avenues of like marketing and things. So we're seeing more people come over checking us out now for sports betting content. You know, we're taking a, you know, we're having like all the RotoWire and bookies.com is our other sister company. We're going to be going to Vegas to do like a little get together with them in a couple weeks. And right now, you know, things are going great with our baseball content, football content. So, and you guys always welcome anytime on the RotoWire podcast. We've already had you on. We got to get Jerry on there in this summer if he does a good job tonight. You know, only
try. You got to watch Jerry. Getting your hands on. So, little side note, Theo, your co-host, co-compadre, along with the podfather Matt on the Sonic Truth. You know, Theo has a boycott. He says he's not coming back unless Jerry is here because he's filled in. He's pinch hit for Jerry a couple of times during the off season. So he's going to be a little jealous that you got to spend an hour or so with Jerry.
Yeah, well, Jerry it purposely takes off when he knows Theo is coming on. He wants nothing to do with him.
And yeah, listen, I would never tell him that. Theo actually trades with me. It's Randy that won't trade with me. So I would love to be on with Theo.
Well, before we get going, let's hear just a quick word from all of our friend, the Podfather, talking about Underdog.
Let's take a moment to talk about Underdog Fantasy. Now, many of you have already signed up. Thousands have signed up from Player Profile already over the years. Underdog has supported us since 2020. Much of what you see on Player Profiler is because of Underdog, because of their support. Get the Underdog app, plug in that promo code Underworld. I used to play Underdog just for the best ball drafts. I mean, the best ball drafts are amazing. These draft rooms fill so quickly, and you can win life-changing money. You want to take advantage of all the sleepers we talk about on this show? Well, what better place than in an Underdog draft room to do that? And I recommend taking your Underdog play to the next level by diving into their NFL pick'ems. It's important to correlate those NFL pick'ems. You can pick both the quarterbacks and the wide receivers to exceed expectations. Correlate them, and you can 5X your payout. Bada bing, bada boom. Underdog Fantasy, the promo code is Underworld. For an instant deposit match up to $100, Underdog is the truest friend of the Underworld.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, Matt absolutely nailed it. Underwear. Everybody loves those. Underdog is a very fun app. If you've never seen it, it's the little black and yellow and white dog. You can find it in the App Store, Google Play.
Memphis, do you know the history of Underdog? You know, like the draft app, all that stuff, guys. Do you know, so they used to be. Do you remember the draft app about 5 years ago when you used to do best ball?
I do, because it was that and MFL 10s, because right. MFL 10s got squashed by the draft app. And
right, and MFL 10s are still around, best ball 10s. They're still around, owned by the NFFC, HubTech. But the draft app was bought by FanDuel, and basically it never saw the light of day after that. But the guys who created the draft app formed Underdog. They started their own company, and they blew it up again. So they blew up draft, sold it, started the new company. So if you think about it, though, if you think about what the draft app looked like, it's very similar to the Underdog interface.
There you go. We got a history of best ball and app-based drafting right here on the Dynasty Warzone, Jerry.
Listen, I'm a sucker for history.
I love that kind of stuff. I seriously do. Do you remember, Jerry, in Memphis, like when you used to want to have to draft in the offseason, you'd have to like sign up for one of those mock drafting sites. Somebody would draft Tim Tebow with the first pick and ruin the damn draft, and it was over. Or you'd go on ESPN's mock draft. I mean,
they would sign up, like the rooms would fill up like insta fast.
Nobody would pick,
and then everybody would quit, and then like the you would spend more time in the draft lobby trying to get a spot than you would after actually drafting, and then you ended up drafting against an algorithm ADP because everybody quit and was on auto pick. Yeah, it was the absolute worst.
And we all did it, though.
Yeah, and that's why it's so good about best ball. It's like, even if you have $2, $3 in the game, at least there's stake in the game, you know?
And for like the really savvy players that play at a high stakes, you know, like Theo and Dan Williamson from the Goat District podcast, you know, for those guys build a portfolio that have a real ROI that You know, it's got to be 51%. At least you would have to think so. I mean, why would you keep doing it year after year, especially at the stakes that Dan and Theo and those type of guys play, unless you had a good ROI? But, hey, Jerry, I think this may be a first, though, by the way. This may be a first for us having a guest on during good people, bad tweets, Jerry.
Let's go.
Now, Alan, I will tell you, Jerry never gets to see the tweet beforehand. Because I want the honest reaction is the best reaction. And this is the most unique good people, bad tweets I've had yet. Because it was a comment that caught my eye because it was horrible. But it pulled me back to the original tweet, which was also bad. So this is kind of a twofer. And here we go. And this tweet was from at Tyler FF Creator. And he was ranking his top 10 tight ends. And here they are in order. Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, TJ Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, Dalton Kincaid, Pat Freiermuth, George Kittle, Michael Mayer, Sam Laporta. So while you're digesting that top 10, Shar jumped in the comments, and this is the one that caught my eye that drugged me to this, that says, I can't trust you if you don't have Evan Engram in the top 5. Not in the top 10. Is pure ignorance. Sorry. So Alan, you're the guest. You get the first serve at this. When I read all this out, what do you think?
Well, I don't follow the this is a dynasty ranking, right? You're saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So what it's not how I would rank them. It seems like, you know, one of the rankings that, like, if you kind of just started playing Dynasty, you'd put all the young guys forward. And I think that there are people that will rank like this. But I think this is what I always say. When I listen to podcasts, when I read tweets, I can always tell who plays in Dynasty leagues and who just kind of makes Dynasty content. And it's fine. You can make Dynasty content and not play in leagues, but I could tell. And again, I'm always open to being wrong, but these rankings strike me as like, hey, let me push the rookies up. And we all know that rookie tight ends, I don't care if you're more likely to be Eric Ebron than you are to be TJ Hockenson, right? So you always bet against tight ends that are drafted early, you're going to win. You're going to be like 70%, 68%. So it strikes me as a very vanilla sort of new style of tweet and something I would probably just scroll past.
You know, for
as a Detroit Lions fan, part of me wants to hit the little red button in the corner just because you mentioned Eric Ebron's name. Because old feet for hands has broken my heart numerous times. This is what I'll say. I agree with what Alan's saying about the tight end rankings. Like, I think having Laporta in there and Michael Mayer in there is a little spicy. You're creating, you know, fine conversation. I get it. I'm fine with it. As far as having Evan Engram in their top 5, like the comments said, I'm going to guess that person has never owned Evan Engram on their dynasty roster, because otherwise they would probably hate him. Outside of this past season and maybe his rookie season, and I am an Evan Engram guy, Randy. I am an Evan Engram man. I fight for him, and I may hate the tight end position, but he is a guy I always go to because he's in, you know, genuinely, he's pretty cheap. Top 5, stop it. Bro can't even stay healthy. He's on a 1-year contract. Contracts are such a big deal in Dynasty. They create stability in their situation, which boosts them up rankings. To say it's egregious that he's not in the top 5, stop it, my friend.
Well, I want to start with the response first. So this is the first response that I had.
You know how fucking stupid you have to be to even think something like that, let alone say it publicly and act like you're fucking serious.
I mean, Dana said it all. It's right there. It's like, and I love Evan Engram. He was one of my hits last year. I said Evan Engram, Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence. What's not to like? Now, if I gave you one of those Men in Black, you guys remember Men in Black, Will Smith with a little laser thing? If I made you forget about his years 2 through 5, and all you remembered was last year and his rookie, you'd be like, okay, top 5. He should be in the top 5. Unfortunately, those other handful of years, those actually happened. So that's horrible. And I love it. And like, I won't, Jerry and I are in a league where you must start 2 tight ends, and it's tight end premium at 1.75. and Dan and JD from the GOAT District, and a lot of people have tried to crowbar Evan Engram away from me in that format, and it's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean he's in the top five, much less 10 of my rankings.
Yeah, Memphis, you know what it is, and Jerry, that I think that people go a little too far when they rank about with age. I think that let's say Travis Kelce has another Travis Kelce year and then retires. He's still worth more than Kyle Pitts probably in Dynasty right now, because the chance that Kyle Pitts puts up a season ever that Travis Kelce's been doing. Travis Kelce's the tight end 1-6 of the last 7 years. I mean, this is like that run that Antonio Brown had over like 5 years. So again, obviously, you know, Kyle Pitts deserving as a top three ranking, but to have, you know, you want to have Travis Kelce as your tight end 1 or 2 in Dynasty. If you want to discount them a little for age, I understand, but I think that's a major leak in Dynasty players' games, is overcounting for age with elite players.
Well, let me throw this out there real quick. So I am taking part. Jerry has decided he does not want to be on video. And Alan's taking part in the world famous, in quotations, player profiler draft kit.
Why didn't Jerry do one? What? Whoa, wait a second. Oh. Unacceptable.
Oh, no. I am doing one.
Oh, okay. You are?
Yeah.
I was giving bad intel. No, you don't tell us how hype you are. Who's your guy?
Mixon.
Joe Mixon.
Always an unsexy running back, bud. I gotta stick with my MO.
He's a good one to do this year because he's undervalued right now. He's moving up, but that's a really good one to do. I like that. Who are you doing, Memphis?
I'm doing Najee Harris.
Which he took mine. I think he's a stinky turd over there.
Well, first of all, I was asked before you, and I tried to do someone else, but I was told you actually have to have players inside the top 100 because I wanted to go big swing. I'll tell you who my big swing is. It's like I'm hoping to catch this year's Evan Engram, and my big swing's Mike Gesicki. I'm hoping big athletic tight end reunited with Bill O'Brien in an offense where there's no clear dominant player. Why not?
No, I like it. It's just the problem is that from a draft kit perspective, no one's going to click on the video. They're going to read the write-up, but no one's clicking on the Mike Gesicki video. So that's why it's top 100. I understand that. Now, if he was doing a top 300 videos, I mean, that would be pretty sick. You should tell him. Say you're going to do Gesicki anyway.
If it was a video for disappointment, Mike Gesicki's an easy click.
Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, is that his fault or is that the fault of the Miami Dolphins?
Listen, you have gotten me in on Mike Gesicki, and every time he spits right in my face. Not falling on for that again.
As cheap as he's going now, he's in. But I want to wrap this up. My big picadillo with Tyler's ranking was George Kittle at number 8. Yeah, First of all, putting Kyle Pitts number 1 is exactly what Alan said. It's safe. He's the new guy. I've got to be hot. I've got to put him on top. That's wrong. That's wrong. Mark Andrews should be your number 1. If it's not Travis Kelce, it should be Mark Andrews. Those
especially
guys are
year,
1
right?
and 2. Especially, 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And the biggest boo-boo, the biggest mistake was George Kittle at number 8. Here's the thing. I just went and looked. George Kittle has been like top 5 at the tight end position for like 5 years in a row. And you may say to yourself, well, but Memphis, he's missed a handful of games. Exactly. And he continues to finish top 5 at the position. Now, do you need to reach for a late round flyer like a Mike Gesicki this year? Do you want to go for a rookie like Sam Laporta? Sure you do. You're probably going to want to have someone just in case Kittle gets hurt. Alan, are you a Marvel fan? I'm a big Marvel fan.
I mean, I'm aware and I'm pretty versed, but I wouldn't call myself like that.
Do you guys remember when Tony Stark created the Hulk Buster suit?
Yes.
Because the Hulk is so powerful that he had to create something to give them a chance to compete with the Hulk?
Yes.
Nerd.
That's George Kittle. Thank you, Jerry. Thank you very much. Go fuck yourself.
My colleague Chris List calls him George Brittle.
Well, that's really good, actually. Yeah. But George Kittle is your best chance at a Kelce buster. Mm-hmm. If you want to have a tight end in the fantasy playoffs when he's healthy, George Kittle is your Kelce buster. He is your only shot at competing with a healthy Travis Kelce. Is a healthy George Kittle with the unstoppable force that is Brock Purdy. But that's a difference. But maybe Brock Purdy is on Alan's list, because we're into that part of the show. We're going to transition to Dynasty Surge or Dynasty Purge. What does that mean? Well, we're going into year two for a lot of key guys. And whether you want to go super high end like Garrett Wilson, whether you want to go super low end like Brock Purdy, Treylon Burks, or you name it, it's sophomores. So Alan did not tell us. We're going to react naturally. Now, surge means these guys, their value is going to surge in 2023. They're going to be worth more 12 months from now than they are today. And purge means they're worth something, and we're going to get them off of our roster as fast as possible because something in 2023 is going to hurt their value, whether it's their performance, their situation, whatever that is. And Jerry and I will be back on Thursday on the Dynasty Warzone YouTube channel and the Dynasty Warzone podcast channel doing our version. But tonight, we have a tremendous guest. Alan, who is your first sophomore surge, a guy that you're like, I got to get this guy on my roster before prices go up?
Malik Willis. No, I'm just kidding. Kidding.
And that was Alan Slezlowski. Thanks for stopping by the Dynasty Warzone.
I'm in a Dynasty startup right now. It's the 27th round. He just went off the board in a Superflex. So it's like, you know, it's just like I said to the room, I said, it's just like the draft night. He's just sitting in the green room again. You know, he's at the 27th round of our draft. So who's the player that this is? Can you visualize being on the cover of all like the magazines next year? That's what I kind of like have to say to myself, right? Who's that guy that you're thinking about, like usually like the fourth or fifth or sixth round in your redraft leagues, but you could so see him being on the cover? And that's Christian Watson, guys. I mean, he was the wide receiver 9 from the time he was a starter in week 10. So that's 2 months of sample size. I mean, football, small sample size. Christian Watson, I know, was a lot of touchdowns, right? But that's what he does. He scores touchdowns. And now, you know, a common pushback that I get when I say, why is Christian Watson being treated differently than Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave? It's like 4 rounds of difference in redraft and definitely a couple rounds in Dynasty as well. It's like he broke out too. He just got a late start. And the one game, again, sample size tiny, but football, that's what it is. It's just a small sample size sport. The one game with Jordan Love, 4 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. So at least we saw it, right? It'd be better than not seeing it. So Christian Watson, to me, it's so easy to see 18 months from now him being in that tier with those young elite guys.
Jerry, what are your thoughts? Because you were both a Christian Watson guy last year. And Jerry, a little fun story, Alan. Jerry actually graduated from Michigan State with Jalen Reed. So, Jerry, what are your thoughts on Watson, the situation, Jordan Love, anything to do with Watson as a surge?
And just to say, if you disagree with anything, say, let me have it. You know what I'm saying? If there's any disagreement there, don't hold back, guys.
You are not going to get a disagreement out of me with Christian Watson. The only argument I would have is if Jordan Love can continuously do it. Because when the ability that Christian Watson showed to play in the league last year shows that he's going to continue to be able to do it. It wasn't necessarily all Aaron Rodgers that did that for him. He made the plays. He got open. He has a knack for the end zone. You cannot argue against that because the man went absolutely bananas for 4 to 5 weeks. And he was wide receiver 1 or 2 overall in those weeks. And if you have the ability to do that in the league that as a rookie, you're always going to have that ability. So I'm with you. Listen, love Jaden Reed. Don't give that Spartan dog. Like Randy said, stood next to him at graduation. I am rooting for him. I have a lot of shares of him just because of where he's going in rookie drafts. But Watson is the one in that offense. He's going to continue to be the one. I just need Jordan Love to help me out for my Watson shares. That's what I'm hoping for. Because I know Watson's got my back, and he's going to help me make my friends cry when it comes to playoff time. I just need Love to help get me there, buddy. But also lose to the Lions twice. I'm not selfish.
You're asking for a lot, but it is a clean sweep on Christian Watson. Here's the thing. This is it. Which LaFleur is this? Is this Mike or is this Matt? They're both extremely handsome. So it's one of the LaFleur brothers by way of Shanahan. And we know that the Shanahan offense has a dominant wide receiver. I mean, I remember when Pierre Garçon had a huge year with Kyle Shanahan calling plays. And that's what this offense does. And I think Watson's going to be that guy. Whether, you know, a couple of years ago it was Rodgers and Devontae Adams. And I'm not saying Christian Watson's going to be the next Devontae Adams. And Jerry, I know you said you were worried about Jordan Love. Look, dude, I saw Tom Savage keep DeAndre Hopkins in volume and fantasy points. And here's the thing. If this team is like in the middle of the pack, no pun intended, it means that they're going to be in games where they're going to be passing to the end. I don't see this team running and hiding. And if they finish, what, 7-10, 8-9, it's not going to surprise me at all. No. And that means there are going to be plenty of games where they got to throw the ball. So for me, I think Christian Watson's a steal.
Hey, guy, in Dynasty, if you're, again, we're playing that age thing right now. If you have to pick, like, in your fourth round of, like, you know, and it's Cooper Kupp or Christian Watson, who you take. And let's just say you don't give me the win now or win. Like, you're on the clock. You've only had three picks, so you don't know what your team is yet.
I'm taking Watson.
Yeah, me too. I did. Yeah,
he's a much more stable asset than Cooper Kupp is at this point. A, with his injury history, B, with Matthew Stafford's injury history, and just the trajectory of that team.
Well, there is no greater fan of Cooper Kupp than me. When I first started doing this in 2017, he was my first big hit as a content creator because I loved his game. The only time you're going to get more for Cooper Kupp than you'll get for Christian Watson in his dynasty is going to be at your trade deadline in season. That's your only shot of getting more than. So this is a game, unfortunately, we talked about those tight end rankings earlier in the show, is that you see the ageism, and I'm sorry, it impacts value. Now, again, when you get into point scoring season, when you get into September through December and the money-making time, then people will potentially pony up. But I agree with Christian Watson, and it kind of makes me sad that I'd have to take him over Cooper Kupp in a startup.
Ask the people in that are okay. Anyone listening in the chat, throw in there Cooper Kupp versus Christian Watson Dynasty. I'm curious what the people say. So just throw it in the chat.
All right, I will watch it in the chat. Alan, give us a second surge. Give us your second guy that you're pumped for, like that you're out. Because so what people didn't know, and I did a poor job of not only butchering the poor man's name, but not giving his Dynasty credentials. I believe I listened to a podcast with you the other day. Sonic Truth, listen to it, streams live on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. When you're trying to get three gentlemen together as busy as Theo, the Podfather, and Alan, it can vary from day to day. I've lost my train of thought, and I'm looking at my show sheet, and I got sidetracked. Jerry, that never happens.
Yes, it does, all the time. What are you
God
talking about?
Damn it,
about?
Jerry, not in front of company.
Getting old and busted, buddy.
Old and busted indeed. All right, Alan, give us your second guy.
I mean, you know, there's so many captain obvious ones, but someone that Jahan Dotson's still reasonably priced, guys. And, like, why can't he be the number one wide receiver? I know Terry McLaurin got the contract, but Jahan Dotson, man, I mean, when he played, this guy was like a supercharged Tyler Lockett out there. You know, he's not, let's see, size-wise, he's 5'11", but it's almost like Steve Smith had a son, right? I mean, he's got the whole my ball mentality. I think
you can't compare somebody to Steve Smith and have Randy not get his nipples hard. Just say, I mean, he loves Steve Smith with everything in him.
Well, there you go.
It's going to be an interesting conversation. A little spoiler. I have not divulged this yet, but I am going to be talking to our friend, Mr. Matt Kelly. You know, he has his own, beef is a good word. We've already talked about Cooper Kupp and Steve Smith. We're segueing right toward a good conversation with me and Matt sometime soon, but I think Jahan Dotson's great. No, keep going, please.
Yeah, just long short is he played in 12 games, 7 of those games, double-digit fantasy points. I mean, a couple blow-up games. It's so – if Sam Howell is even, like, C-plus good, Jahan Dotson's going to have a – he's going to outscore his ADP, and he's going to be someone that you're auto-starting every week. He's not going to be a wide receiver 5 or anything like that, but why can't he be, like, wide receiver 14 or 15 or, you know, just – touchdown based, right? I mean, he's someone they kept throwing to, and he had a couple multi-touchdown games as well. So we talk about sophomore players, second-year guys that haven't gotten the full tier one push-up in Dynasty and Redraft yet. He's got to qualify.
There's going to be a time when I disagree with you. I promise you that. But it is 100% not going to be this one. Right. Jahan Dotson, just a touchdown maker, man. Like, he just finds the end zone, but for some reason, he's not getting all of the sizzle that the other younger guys are, and I don't fully, like, I get Garrett Wilson got Aaron Rodgers, and they went a little bit earlier in the rookie drafts, and maybe that's what is causing this. I wouldn't be surprised if Dotson is the one there, and he's just, oh my God, at his price, he's so easy to accumulate, and if he grows better than what he even has, oh my God, that's easy value.
So I talked about Cooper Kupp being a hit. Terry McLaurin was one of my other big hits as we've done this, because we were getting him in the third round. And I love him, but I think that the best thing that could happen is this Washington Commandos team is going to have a new owner, finally. And I could see them looking at his contract. Now, there's no savings in 2024 by cutting him. It's actually about a $5 million versus what his cap hit would be versus what his dead cap hit would be. But if you're trying to rebuild and restructure, because I think Ron Rivera is done unless he makes at least a playoff win this year. I think they want to hand it over to Eric Bieniemy under a new leadership team. And, you know, Terry McLaurin under contract for 2 years in 24 and 25 could look very appealing to a Buffalo, to a Kansas City. And I know he's going to make $24 million-ish over the next 2 years. I think that's when Jahan Dotson is really going to flourish. But Jahan Dotson just turned 23 in March. And he's a guy that he could be going into his super prime. That's a podfather term. The super prime of 25 years old, and you could have a 3 to 5 year window with him as the super alpha in there. So I love Jahan Dotson. I think in 2023, I'd love to have him in rosters where I have to set my roster. I'd love to have him as like my wide receiver 3, because I know he's going to potentially win me some weeks. All he does is catch touchdowns per Jerry. So I like that.
Yeah, I've given my when I'm on the clock at like 110 and 111 and it's like Zay Flowers standing there, I've given that pick to someone for Jahan Dotson, and everyone's like, oh, you overpaid. But I'm like, all right.
Not even close.
Right.
I'll take Dotson over Flowers 95 out of 100 times.
Right. But when you give that pick, when you give pick 110 or 111, right, it seems like an overpay, you know?
Well, what did you pay for Dotson last year? About the same?
2-3, right? He was the guy. Every year, there's a first-round wide receiver that goes in the second round of rookie drafts. It was Brandon Ayuk. It was Kadarius Toney. It was, Amon-Ra St. Brown was, a fourth-rounder? So,
yeah.
I mean, Dotson was the guy last year that fell.
I'll give you a lot of kudos. It takes a lot of stones to make that pick. But, you know, here's the thing. And this is a little nugget for the listeners and all the kind people commenting in the chat. You have to lose trades, lose in quotation marks, to win leagues. The more trades I quote unquote lose, the more leagues I win.
That's a great take right there.
Trades are all sizzle, right? Like the winning a trade means you get the sizzlier player. But if I can get a good steak, I'll take it every time.
Well, I was getting, you know, Jerry, you mentioned Joe Mixon's going to be your guy in the world famous in quotations draft kit. And I was out when the alleged issue was going on with him in the legal process. I was going out scooping him up. I got 3 Joe Mixon on 3 contending rosters for seconds in this past year. Now think about the players that went in the second of this 2023 rookie draft. And I was getting Joe Mixon for that on contenders because I like to win. You have to lose trades. And I think Jahan Dotson, I know he's 23. I don't know how old Zay Flowers is. He's got to be 22. He spent 4 years in college. He was a senior. He came back. So you're talking about 2 guys. One guy's in the mix with Mark Andrews and Odell Beckham Jr. And they're flirting with DeAndre Hopkins and Rashad Bateman. And all of a sudden, now Zay Flowers is there. Or Jahan Dotson, and it's Terry McLaurin. Maybe Logan Thomas. Maybe not. I mean, even if they're bad, first of all, Jacoby Brissett waited in the wings to hold everybody's fantasy value. So I think that's a steal. I think that's the best nugget takeaway so far is go trade the 110 and a super flex for Jahan Dotson.
111. Do it. I mean, any of those guys, right? I mean, would you do it with Jordan Addison too? I mean, that's where it starts to get a little like,
That's the line of demarcation for me. That is the line in the sand. Once you get to 108 in a super flex, we've said this all offseason. I don't give a shit what you do. I really don't, because there's an entire tier from 108 to 208 in super flex drafts this year.
So who are the guys that you would do Dotson for? Like, JSN, you would take JSN, right, guys?
JSN and Addison.
Okay. Oh, Addison. So Addison's firmly on the.
Oh, 100%. You know, okay. Kirk Cousins and then that Kevin McConnell offense. You know, Kirk Cousins is going to throw the ball between 600 and 650 times. And believe it or not, yes, it's true, Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson can't get all of those. So there's going to be plenty of volume. He plays in a dome 8 times this year because the AFC has the 9th home game this year, but he has at least 8 games in a dome, 9 when you count the 1 road trip to Detroit. You know, you're coming down the fantasy playoffs. You're not going to have to potentially worry about weather, you know, wind and snow and everything. I mean, yes, absolutely. But that is the line. Okay. If you want to move 108 for Jahan Dotson and you don't want Quentin Johnston, first of all, I don't blame you. Second of all, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. No, that's – do you agree, Jerry, with that? Like, that's the line right there?
QJ, 100%.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yep.
How about Kincaid in, like, any sort of premium format for Dotson? Where are we on that one?
I would take Kincaid there by an eyelash. I mean, I'm not saying Jahan Dotson's actually Steve Smith, but he's really good.
Right.
And I'm looking for two things in fantasy football. They both start with V. Jerry, get your mind out of the gutter. They both start with V, volume and value. Those are the two things I'm looking for. And Jahan Dotson's route to volume is tremendous. I think he's a value right now. That's why I like him where you're talking. Now, Kincaid in a 1.75 premium, which a lot of us plays in, given that offense in Buffalo, because there's going to be a bunch of volume there. I can dig that.
Jerry, it starts with the V and it stinks. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
what are you talking about? It's volume. It's bad volume.
Listen, I am a hater of tight ends, but I think I can get more for
Kincaid.
Tell us more
about how Eric Ebron scarred you.
Yeah, well, he's got feet for hands, so he scarred anybody who ever drafted him. Yeah. And then Hawk finally does good, and then we trade him. So that's it, the life of a Lions fan.
I see
man.
A lot of emotional scarring here, Jerry. It's not so much Kincaid, it's you.
Correct. And they're going to do it to us again this year. Right? They just build my hope up just to punch me right in the mouth.
So you would rather have Dotson over Kincaid then, regardless of the premium? Personally,
yes. But I would in a startup, I would take Kincaid first just because I think I could get more. I think I could get Dotson plus.
Right. And Dotson, guys, also, it's like everyone always thinks you have to hit like a home run with every pick. It's okay to hit a double, right? Like if you can, in these leagues where we play with.
How dare you speak of such dynasty heresy like that, sir?
Right. Especially the leagues we all play in when there's like three flexes plus a super flex, right? It's like Jahan Dotson like is in my lineup every week. Like I'm very happy to have that guy and that type of stuff. Now, if it's start two wide receivers and one flex and that kind of stuff, then obviously we want the upside.
Well, before we get your final surge and then we'll go to the fun part. But if you're setting lineups, which we're going to be doing in about 3.5 months, you're setting lineups. Do you feel comfortable every Sunday hitting the submit button with Jahan Dotson in your lineup or Quentin Johnston? Or Zay Flowers, or anybody in that range. I feel, because I know what I've seen, and I can't unsee what I've seen. So for me personally, I would lean Jahan Dotson over all those guys, especially given his age.
I mean, thumbs up, right? I mean, that's, you know, he's one of my guys this year. You know, we're all going to have guys. That's my guy.
All right.
Who's the third guy going to be? Because I want to disagree with you. I really do.
I was going to say Mechie can go up, right? I mean, I don't even like love
this guy.
I mean, maybe these are Captain Obvious. I don't know. But, you know, the way they're being drafted, I guess they're not because all of them, Christian Watson goes in round 5, but I'm saying that he should be a round 2 guy. And these other guys are around like 6 and 8 players in that probably will be better next year. So Mechie, everyone forgot about him. I mean, you know, we hear scary word like cancer, right? And we don't want to have him, but I mean, there's an example in the NFL of a productive player, James Conner, right, who came back from something like this. So a guy that's going to surge that I think he went in round 13 of his startup I'm in right now. So that would, I mean, for obvious reasons, you know, he's got the chance to be the number one guy. It's wide open in Houston.
Jerry, what are your thoughts on Mechie? Because you know
the cheapest wide receiver one that's available right now.
That's a great way to put it.
And if CJ Stroud is that guy, you got a star brewing.
Yeah, even if he's a B minus, right?
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like it just based on him being, I mean, with all respect to Nico Collins, he just hasn't been a thing. Bobby Trees is he's getting up there. I mean, John Mechie's what, 22, 23? Was a burner at Alabama? I mean,
we'll be 23 in July.
Okay, so he's not even 23 yet. Yeah, no, that's a deal. Just the absolute bottom of the barrel acquisition cost for a potential wide receiver one. I'm scooping that every time. We're going to talk about the V's. There's your value V right there.
Well, he's my guy. I've been getting him everywhere. I've been getting him for thirds. Mm. I traded back in a league. I traded a 2024 first. Now I won this league, so there's a little background, context. I won this league last year. I should be in my final contending window this year. Roschon Johnson was on the board at the 205, and the guy who had the 205, I gave him my 24 first, and I got the rights to basically draft Roschon Johnson and John Mechie. So I gave what could be worst case scenario the 109 to 112 next year for John Mechie and Roschon Johnson, which both A will give me an infusion of young talent this year, and could potentially, you know, help me win long term. So I love John Mechie. I think he wins the way that CJ Stroud plays the quarterback position. I don't see CJ Stroud pushing bombs down the field to Nico Collins. I think Mechie and Schultz are going to thrive in this offense because it's over the middle. It's, you know, they'll run a 6-yard route on 3rd and 8. They'll catch it. Maybe they get the first down. Maybe they don't. I don't care. I got 1.6 PPR points on that 6-yard catch, and I think he's going to get a lot of them. I don't want to go as crazy as to say he could be Keenan Allen, but I think he's going to play and win the way that we want our receivers to win. I think he'll get a ton of volume, and I can't say enough good things about Mechie.
Yeah, no, that's cool. By the way, is that you, Jerry, in the chat that said you don't like Rondale Moore?
Correct.
Memphis, where are you on that one? Because Rondale, people seem to like him now that Hopkins is gone.
Is he the replacement for?
No, it's just there's more, you know.
There's more volume. For me,
theoretical targets.
For me, the guy you and I talked about on the RotoWire podcast that I love that's getting the big bump in Arizona is my man Michael Wilson. I'm hoping he falls in a long lineage of wide receivers I've hit on late in drafts that have, you know, had good production at the Senior Bowl, whether that be Cooper Kupp or Terry McLaurin or Michael Wilson. Michael Wilson is what happens when you wait until the news becomes definite.
Got it.
You have lost all your opportunity to get any value with him, Rondale Moore, Greg Dortch, Hollywood Brown. We knew DeAndre Hopkins was going to be out of Arizona. We knew it. They didn't trade him. They cut him. You have about 3 days to do this with Dwayne McBride in Minnesota. Him, Madison. We know Cook's gone.
I think he's playing too.
Yeah, and well, the reason is that he sees what's going on. It's very lonely in the running back free agency world right now. Like the phone doesn't ring. Nobody's offering any money. He doesn't want to go into that.
He could take
crack
a
house.
It looks like the bus station scene from Total Recall.
Yes,
with him and Zeke Elliott. And that's Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt.
Hunt is there. He's like, yeah. Please sign me. You know,
maybe he takes the pay cut that keeps him around, but he's going into year 7. He's never had a tremendous, you know, healthy track record about him. Well, and Minnesota loves Dwayne McBride. Now he's got some knucklehead to him. They love him. They were not. I think they traded up that 7th round pick to get him. They were not going to leave that draft without him because they value him. They think he's got some immaturity issues, but they think he's an absolute beast. So I love McBride. But yeah, going back to Rondale Moore, he's okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to steer off too far on our purges, but the last Dalvin Cook sort of, I was thinking that they would leave him his contract, but make it more incentive laden. So like, you know, you'd lower his base and have an opportunity to get to where he was if he plays, if he produces.
I can dig that, Jerry.
Yeah, yeah.
I just
think he's playing.
Yeah,
I really do.
I see. I think he only sticks there if he takes the pay cut.
Yeah,
that's my thing. He has to give the team something back. So we're not going to play a second commercial real quick. I just want to mention our friends at Trophy Smack. So, Alan, you're doing a ton of dynasty startups. I am as well. But you're going to have your old school frat league. You're going to have your work league. You're going to have your old high school league, whatever it is, you need a trophy. If this is more than year one, you need a trophy. We're back doing work with our friends at Trophy Smack, trophysmack.com/underworld. if you spend $100, you get a free stunner ring. Like, you know, remember that song, number one, I can't do it. I don't want to demonetize the video, but the number one stunner ring or the bling ring, you literally add the ring to your cart. You maybe next week we'll do like Jerry Reed's rap. We'll do something like that. But you go to Trophy Smack. Okay, Alan, he's nodding his head. He wants to see Jerry Reed rap.
I mean, but, I will set my reminder on the player profile if that's guaranteed to happen.
We'll see. Well, actually, next week Jerry will be out, so we'll wrap that up at the end. But just head to Trophy Smack. It's early in the season. Maybe you're not ready to buy yet. Maybe you haven't had your draft yet. Maybe you haven't listened to the Kiss the Ring podcast yet. But go over there, get an idea of what you want. Maybe you want a draft kit for the wall. Maybe you want a trophy. Whatever it is, if your subtotal hits $100 before tax, it can't be $99.99. It's got to be $100 before tax. And you can add the ring to the cart, use promo code UNDERWORLD, gets the ring for free. So there we go. Simple, cheap, easy plug for our friends at Trophy Smack.
We work with them over at RotoWire too. They're awesome. Like, they're
amazing.
Their product is amazing. It's really good.
Good products, good people, support the content you're enjoying for free. So even if you just go click, even if you just go to trophysmack.com/underworld, that's the key part, because that tells them that we sent you to peruse. You may not buy today, but go take a look at what they got. The /underworld says, hey, our friends from Player Profiler sent us. Now to the good part. Give us your first sophomore we must purge from our roster.
So purge is a relative term here, right? So because,
well, if you saw the thumbnail for the video, it's the movie, The Purge. Yeah. And we got the Purge mask on Traylon Burks. Now, we've not heard his name yet. Doesn't mean we're going to.
Yeah.
But we have the Purge mask. You know, when there's a purge, you have to purge.
Okay. This is a take that's based mostly in redraft, but it could be applied to Dynasty too. And guys, I think it's bad news for Breece Hall. I think this is, it's, you know, he's RB2 in Dynasty and he's going in the third round of underdog drafts. I mean, usually these guys are 10 months back to play, which means that he would technically be at 10 months when the season starts, but it's 18 months until these guys even feel like themselves again. If you're taking him in the third round of your best ball draft, you're just going to be taking zeros or looking at like a J.K. Dobbins type of thing. I don't even think the Jets, I mean, they drafted Izzy A. They have that whole slew of, like, you know, just replacement level running backs that could at least play. I think this is going to be a bad year, at least a bad start. I mean, you always make money in fantasy football betting against injury optimism. If you can get full value for Breece Hall right now, if I can get Christian McCaffrey and a 24 first, please give it to me. I just think that these guys never return to be them full selves. Now, Breece Hall at 89% is great. That's a running back I want for his career. But you look at these guys, usually after the ACL tear, if your name isn't Adrian Peterson, you're never what you once were. You could still be really good. So purge in a sense where I'm looking to move him for full value.
Jerry, I'm planning
my
response.
We finally found the disagreement, boys. I get the argument. I get where you're coming from. And here's the thing. If the injury lingers on or he does it again, then he's Javonte Williams stock. And listen, I like Javonte. I'm trying to acquire him because the value is repressed, but it's not where it was 365 days ago. And that exact same thing could happen to Breece Hall. Maybe I am just being a gullible optimist, but that offense is getting exponentially better. He's an unbelievable pass catcher. And I was shocking, the guy with the Michigan State degree on his wall liked Kenneth Walker more. I love Breece Hall. So I hear you. It's a fair argument that I understand. And if you can get great things, granted, I mean, Christian McCaffrey in a first is still good value, even though I hate to rely on Christian McCaffrey, just because if we're going to talk about injuries, I mean, that man farted in my face for two straight years and broke my heart. So, but if you can get full value, I can hear you, because young elite running backs are worth far more than they should be,
right?
Because they are unstable assets more often than not. God, I love Breece Hall, man. It hurts.
I
feel like my ears are bleeding.
Wow. This is what I thought when Alan said that.
Federal prison. Federal fucking prison.
If you're that. I mean, I want to put Allen in federal prison right now. Federal prison, because I love Breece Hall. Here's the thing. I'm big into messaging. And they did the same thing with Javonte Williams, by the way. You know, I think the Jets, I think this is Super Bowl or bust. At least playoffs, win a game or two, Aaron Rodgers, it's all in. If there were real concerns, I mean real concerns, they would have signed one of the – they would have sent a bus to the bus station for homeless men, and they would have picked up Zeke Elliott or Leonard Fournette.
They still got time to do that.
That's my point, is that if we get into camp and Breece does not look like Breece, then they're going to bring in a Kareem Hunt. I would bring in Kareem Hunt because he's going to be – he's had his own, you know, issues in the past, but he's less of the big name. It's not going to stir the media. It's not going to be the back of the New York Post. It's going to be just a little addition to – that's the one that would scare me the most, because I think he's the one of the three that has the most left to offer as a running back. So if he can get into camp, he looks okay. Zeke already expressed interest, and Breece on social media gave him that old Heisman stiff arm. So I love Breece Hall. He's still my RB2 in a startup. Maybe I'm that sucker. Allen, what do you think about my take and then wanting to put you in federal prison?
I mean, listen, I'm alone on this island right here. I think that even Jerry pointed out, like, the argument is sound, but nobody agrees with me. It's very lonely over here. So I probably deserve to be sentenced to at least 25 to life for that take. But again, it's just betting against injury optimism. Now, I bet against injury optimism when Joe Burrow hurt himself, and I lost. I lost the bet. I said I was fading Joe Burrow.
I did too, buddy.
Yep. So, but with a running back, I'm going to do it, especially at the cost, right? Even at least that year in redraft, like Joe Burrow was like QB 15. He didn't always have to overpay. Breece Hall's RB2, and he's like RB6 in redraft.
That's the thing, is the trajectory. Is there any way that he increases in value? I think the argument is no. And if something were to happen, or he is just doesn't come back the same, the value plummets. So I get it. I get it.
Well, I share this take with our buddy, the Podfather, and we'll get Alan's thoughts as well. I think Samaje Perine's a screaming buy for the first five or six games of the season. If you're playing best ball or your redraft, I think the Samaje orange will be squeezed to death by the time we get to August and you start getting a lot of redraft content, but same boat, you know, they have not brought in anybody. I mean, they brought in like just bums. I mean, just not even like the good bums, but just bums. So I'm not saying go out and get crazy with the cheese whiz with Javonte Williams, but if you're in that same range with the 108, 109, and he's your guy, you can go get him, you know, for that draft pick. I'd do it. Allen, you came with the hammer. You probably should have, unless you have a bigger hammer. Who's your second purge?
Well, right. I try to give you one at the top, and I'll give you one. I mean, there's a bunch of running backs, second-year running backs, that literally did nothing, but for some reason, they still have dynasty value. They're still being drafted. Like, Zamir White is, like, an example of this, right? Like, he literally did nothing last year. Josh Jacobs is on a one-year franchise tag deal. Like, people should be interested in Zamir White. I mean, sorry, he's basically going as if there's interest in him, that he's the next guy. But if someone wants to give me anything of value for him, I don't mean like a fourth round pick, but if someone, like, say, if I'm on the clock at like 2:10 and you talked about Jaden Reed earlier, like, and someone says, yeah, I'll take, I mean, no one's going to do that. That's not realistic, but I don't know. If Zamir White does anything, I'm looking to get rid of him. I'm purging him off my roster. I mean, I need to see something in the rookie year for me to be interested, or it has to be an extreme case of why they didn't do anything. I mean, literally look down that game log. It looks like, you know, one of the
like
worst
mine. It looks like mine.
There you go. So yeah, Zamir White for me, I'm purging. If I can get anything, if I can use him to package with like 307 to move up to 208, you know, something like that in a rookie draft, that's what I'm doing.
Earlier, yeah. I said that I would trade Rondale for a wet sock, and I would trade Rondale for him. I mean, that's pretty standard. Like, that's not hot takey, but essentially I would take anything. If I could move up from 210 to 208, I would give you Zamir White. If it was 210 to 209, I'm doing it. I don't see a scenario where that guy's going to do anything. I'm with you.
You know, I wanted to like Zamir White. So this is me being honest. This is me telling all my – maybe it was a little bit of – are we over-scouting the Georgia helmet?
especially at the running back position. Now, if you want to talk the defensive guys have been absolutely NFL gold. They have been destroyers. I was so bummed. I actually called it in our Patreon group chat, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone, where I said, watch this. The Eagles traded up ahead of the Colts. I said, these goddamn bastards are going to draft Kelee Ringo. And sure enough, they did. But as it relates to these running backs, I mean, who's been the Georgia running back? Think about like Evander Holyfield's kid. Can't even remember his first name.
Elijah.
Yeah. DeAndre Swift is largely disappointed. Zamir White. Who has been the Georgia running back during this epic 3 or 4 year run that has really landed in the NFL and set the NFL world on fire?
Was Gurley in Georgia? Was Gurley?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got to go back to Chubb, Nick Chubb. Because Sony Michel disappointed too.
What, 2018, 2019?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's been hot. I mean, that's half as crazy as is it.
That's a lifetime in Dynasty.
Dude, it's a half a decade ago. Yeah. I mean, we've seen the apex. So I'm going to say I was guilty of a little helmet scouting on Zamir White. Well, Alan, we're down to our last purge now. Yeah. Make it a good one. I don't know that you can top Brees. That was impressive stuff on your part.
Wanted to come out swinging. Now this one
with the heat.
Right, this one I'm prepared to be wrong on. We drafted him in the first round of our rookie drafts. I don't know what to do with Sky Moore, so I'm just going to give him to somebody else that wants him. You know what I mean? They already drafted over him, right? I guess Sky Moore had a little bit draft cap, but they have Rashi Rice. Was he taken? He was taken with a lower pick in the same round, but they basically, it's still a second round pick. They spread the ball around. Travis Kelce. I mean, there's rumors now that DeAndre Hopkins can go there. I still think that there's a chance to get something at least 80 cents on the dollar of what you paid. So I'm purging him off in a sense where he's a tradable asset. You could add him to something else to get somewhere else. I want to do that as soon as possible. If Hopkins signs there, you're dead. And if he starts slow, you're dead. So you know, that's somewhere between Zamir White and Breece Hall is the case for Sky Moore. If I'm prepared to be wrong, guys. You know, if I'm wrong on this, I'm fine. I don't want to take the chance if somebody else does.
Well, if you are wrong on it, I'm going to be wrong with you, buddy. Because I'm with you. It's going to be tough, I think, to trade him standalone. I think the best actionable advice that you got, English is a tough language, actionable advice that you just said was sort of adding him into a piece to sort of get a better asset, just because he was super disappointing. I think he scored the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl, though. So you know, maybe you can get a, you know, hey,
Jerry, would you take him or Gabe Davis right now?
Gabe Davis, just because I really don't believe in Sky Moore. I'm also flipping Gabriel Davis too.
He's on a soft. Yeah, we can't talk about him.
Yeah, I mean they brought in Kadarius Toney. They drafted Rashee Rice, so they've seen Sky Moore, and they've added two more wide receivers since that draft. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, I'm with you. Randy, he's sort of your guy, right?
Well, first of all, I mean, Alan is over here just like,
emotional damage!
He's hitting me at all the feels. Maybe I should have had him give me the names before he actually... before he actually came on, so I could have prepared myself for...
Emotionally.
For these guys. I like Sky Moore, but I can't spout off about the messaging on a player and then not, you know, listening to the messaging. What is Brett Veach? What are the Kansas City Chiefs? What is Andy Reid? What is Patrick Mahomes telling us? They do not believe in Sky Moore, and I got news for you. By de facto reasons, it's Kadarius Toney, too. Now, he's not a sophomore, but they're telling us. You know, we're going to bring in 30 plus year old DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to look at Rashi Rice. We're going to look at anything we can, because we do not believe currently going into the season that our wide receiver room is where we as a group want it to be. Because you know that those meetings have happened. It's been Patrick. It's been Andy. It's been Brett. They've all been in a room. They've all been chatting like, dude, what about the wide receivers? And Patrick's probably like, you know, I'd love to have someone on the outside that I can trust. You know what? Maybe it's Rashi Rice. Maybe it's not. But the messaging is it's like it's Travis Kelce and then maybe. And I don't mind if you can get out of the Sky Moore business and you can move into a rookie wide receiver from this class that you really like more. That's the thing, because I've always believed in that, you know, you don't hang on to a mistake because you spent a lot of time making it.
Randall, do you remember people were on the clock last year and they were deciding Sky Moore or Christian Watson? How sick are those people right now?
Oh, it's oh man, that those people are in like dynasty hostels.
Some of those people, they're not me this time, right, but some of those people also took Corey Davis over Christian McCaffrey. So, ooh, you know, we exist in this world and we're sad, ooh, about it still. What, to play devil's advocate, I will say that maybe Sky Moore is better than all those guys too. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like those guys are insurmountable to overcome. And if you can be the guy that's the second target with Patrick Mahomes behind Travis Kelce, that's a great role, and he could be a value, is what I will say. Granted, with my personal teams, I am not doing that, and I am not targeting him like that, but it's not impossible.
Well, I want to throw this out. So there's a league that I always go to because it's full of fellow content creators. And B, it's always the first draft. This draft kicks off literally Saturday, 6 p.m., the Saturday of the draft. So round, you know, 7 ends, this draft starts. You have like very little time to get ready. You either got your shit together or you're not. And I went back and I looked at this draft. So this is a tight end premium super flex draft. At the 108, Sky Moore. The 109, Christian Watson. The 110, Chris Olave. The 203, Jahan Dotson. So it's like he was very, very highly thought of.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem with Sky Moore is that the person that has him right now probably believes in him more than you. But if someone in your league happens to believe in him more than you, let them believe in him more than you on their roster and not on yours.
Yeah, I think the reaction to Sky Moore is Rashee Rice. It's the reason why the second round receiver of Kansas City didn't go to pick 9, because everyone's, you know, it's with dynasty players. We try to think that we're such long term thinkers. We're just as prone, maybe more, to recency bias than any other type of than DFS players, who are literally what happened last week.
Pivot. We love pivoting. Here. No, I was just saying we love to switch our strategy because of mistakes in the past immediately. Maybe too far, but
well, it's about being ahead of the curve. If you go back to like 2014 was arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, wide receiver classes in the history of the NFL.
Is that the Beckham class? Is
that was the Beckham, Mike Evans, Davante Adams, and Jarvis Landry does not get enough love in that class. But we saw in drafts after that, like the startups in 2015, 2016, where those were the guys going 101, 102, 103. They were the Justin Jefferson, Garrett Wilson, Jamar Chases of the day. And then we had this big shift because we had the running back class of 2017, which came in and said, hey, guys, we need to build around these running backs again. Everything's cyclical. You have to determine what part of the cycle are we in, where is it going? How do we stay ahead of it? Alan, how do we stay ahead of your schedule over at RotoWire?
Yeah, just everything. I post everything on Twitter at Alan Sizlowski. I'm sure you'll link it in the in any description you do. And right now, for your viewers, we're giving away 2 days of RotoWire Premium. I'm a big believer that you should not only subscribe to one premium site like Player Profiler, and I'm a subscriber. I pay for Player Profiler. I believe that good dynasty players, good redraft players, subscribe to 2 or 3 draft kits to have a little bit of diverse opinion. So they always say fantasy football players are the only people that will spend 100 to win 50. I strongly recommend you go over and check out RotoWire. We're going to give it to you for free right now, by the way. Unlock the paywall for 2 days. Just go to rotowire.com/try. Anyone could do it. Just put in your email. There's no credit card to put in. Just the paywall unlocks for 2 days. And after 2 days, it just lapses. Nothing happens. If you want to subscribe, you can. If not, you don't even have to like do any annoying canceling or anything like that. rotowire.com/try.
/try. And let me clue you into something that I had to learn about RotoWire. When I did my guest spot with Alan on RotoWire, what they have is depth charts, and they keep those things up to date. So June 6th through the 8th is mandatory mini camp. So you're going to see blurbs, you're going to see things, and all these teams are going to update their depth chart. To me, this sounds silly, and maybe I am. It's worth it for the updated depth charts alone. Forget all the other premium content. That's great.
Thank you.
That in and of itself makes it worth it. And it's very slick, And Alan, you're very slick, man. What's going on with the Sonic Truth? How are you keeping Matt and Theo?
It's completely torture. It's hell. It's fun working with those guys. We have a good time. Just like you guys, I'm a fan of Player Profiler and all the content. So, and similar to what you guys are doing here, which I love what you guys are doing here. I think you really have a good thing going on here. I'm very happy that you guys are doing this pod and also on the Dynasty Warzone page as well. But yeah, we're going to be every Tuesday, myself, Matt Kelly, and Theo, doing the Sonic Truth podcast and also the RotoWire Dynasty podcast. It's in the RotoWire Fantasy Football podcast feed. And I was just going to ask you, you brought up something. Oh, you guys have a player profiler login for RotoWire. So just ask Matt Kelly for it if you ever want to go on. So you have
I will pay for my RotoWire like everybody else. It's premium content. Because,
but just to let you know, Player Profiler has a login. So
we will do that. But I will say this. So first of all, support Alan, support all the content creators where you can. And the freest way, it's a word that me and a doctor, by the way, he's a doctor of physical therapy, Kyle. He does some stuff with us throughout the season. Dr. Kyle, the freest way to help all of us is subscribe to YouTube channels. Go to the Dynasty Warzone page. Go to RotoWire. Go to Player Profiler. I can see how many of you are on here. Go over there. You're going to hear Jerry and I's Surge and Purge, guys. It's on Thursday night. But because of so many awesome shows on Player Profiler, we can't get all that much time. So you're already here. You subscribe to our YouTube channel, their YouTube channel. You're there. Subscribe to the RotoWire channel. It's free. If you're listening on podcast, it's free to leave a review. It's free to subscribe on Apple. If you're an Apple person, it's free to subscribe on Spotify. If you're a Spotify person, Alan, it sounds corny, but how helpful is that to us as content creators?
Oh, I mean, you know, just for our egos alone. I mean,
for our ego. I'll be honest. I watch how many views. I watch Jerry knows. I text him. You see how many views we got? That matters because that's a scoreboard. I'm a competitive person.
Really, let's think about what it really means. What it means is, like, what does anyone want in life, guys? They just want to be heard. They want to be seen. They want to be noticed. And again, that's not an unhealthy way. I mean, we just want to know that we're not talking into the void. So when someone clicks on a video, click subscribe, it's just an acknowledgement, like, I see you. I know what you're doing. Thumbs up. I mean, hasn't been at a job on a work and just even if a mid-level manager says, hey, good job right there, it feels good. And that's really what it is. I mean, yes, of course it's ego. And I always say it's better to have 200 hardcore followers than 20,000 just, you know, sort of that aren't engaged at all that. So it's just an acknowledgement. And because you guys do it because you love it. You know what I'm saying? I do it because I love it. It's just a nice little acknowledgement. So yeah, that's what I think. We could do a whole podcast on views, likes. 100%.
I mean, when we started it, we were talking into a void, my friend. It was just Randy listening to me and me ignoring Randy.
It's like an old married couple at this point, Alan.
It's like on the phone, right? Like you're talking to your friends on the phone. You're like, this should be a podcast, right? It's like we all have that experience with our friends.
100%. So make sure you subscribe everywhere. And thank you. I can't name everybody. Now, when we do the Dynasty Warzone show, we don't have this many listeners and this many comments because I'm just sitting here going, it's like scrolling. So all you people that have interacted with this show have made a tremendous difference. I see Jerry's working overtime behind the scenes in the chat, making sure that, you know, he engages with you guys, the listeners. So I'm fired up. Jerry's out in the next two Sundays. Him and what I like to call the lovely Mrs. Jerry, they are going to be celebrating 10 years of marriage, and Jerry's going to be out. So I'm wrangling up guest hosts. I will not name names. It will be a surprise.
What's your wedding anniversary date, Jerry?
June 5th.
All right.
Cinco de June.
I will be feet in the sand. I will miss Randy.
I was testing him.
10 minutes, maybe, but the rest of it.
Make sure you tune in.
Feet in the sand, Marg in my hand, baby.
Hey, why can't you say who the guests are? That's a good way to promote, or is it not confirmed yet?
Because they're not confirmed, and I like to have surprises. Once it's confirmed, like, so Kiss the Ring podcast, for those that are listening, it'll be not this Monday, because it's every other Monday, but Monday, June 5th, I've got John McGlynn from the Commissioner Evaluation podcast. He's coming on with me. McDowell has confirmed. But once I get a hard commitment, because I don't want to put that person in a bad spot. Life comes up, kids, work, things. So
I got a question for you guys. So present company excluded, obviously. Who's your, if you could have anyone on the podcast, it could be an athlete, it could be a fantasy football analyst, it could be anyone, like you get one shot. And don't just say the most famous person, because it could be a terrible interview. Who's the dream guest?
Jerry? I know mine.
Oh, then say yours, because I'm going to have to think about it.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
Mine's totally Dana White.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That makes
sense. I'm a UFC guy. Totally. I've had six amateur mixed martial arts fights. I think Dana White, I've added him to the soundboard, because his sound drops become the best memes and like just things. So Dana White is authentic. He's going to tell you exactly what he thinks, whether it's about politics or what. I don't agree with everything that he says, but I think I'm looking for polarizing. Dana White makes you feel. Yep. You either hate him or you love him. I don't want the milkman on my podcast. I don't want the UPS driver on my podcast. I don't want boring. Alan, that's why you're here. You're very polarizing. You hit me with Breece Hall tonight. Wasn't expecting it, Jerry. Who's your all-time?
See, should I go? Because we've had some very big names. And you know what? You're right. They weren't the best interviews.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's very rare you get the big name and the good interview. I have had that one time. Like I'm talking, I had Schefter on the RotoWire podcast, and he was awesome. He crushed it. But it makes sense, right? Because he's Adam Schefter and he crushes at football.
Right.
But I've had other,
a Michigan Wolverine, so I'll let it slide. But you know, obviously gotta respect Schefty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good one. That's tough to top.
But who's your dream guest then? Who would you want?
You know what? It might be Matthew Berry, because he sort of got me. I mean, just like I'm guessing a lot of people. I mean,
he's the godfather. He's one of the godfathers.
I mean, I listened to the Fantasy Focus when it first started, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize this sort of content was available. And then, you know, I always tell people whenever they haven't played Dynasty or they're about to start playing Dynasty, it's like a black hole that you're just not ready for. It is going to consume you, and you are going to just want to acquire all the knowledge that you absolutely possibly can.
Yep.
And Matthew Berry did that for me.
What about you, Alan? I mean, you've bumped elbows with the most famous, but who would you like to sit down with and have an hour of time with?
So if you would have asked me 10 years ago, I would have said like non-fantasy-wise, like Howard Stern. Like, you know, I used to be like a Howard Stern nut.
But, oh,
you know,
if we're talking non-fantasy, mine's right. Stone Cold Steve Austin for sure. Go. But anyway, continue.
No, that's...
That would be a good one too. But I've listened to his podcast so many times, and I've listened to so many podcasters that are better than me interview Stone Cold Steve Austin. That I would struggle. I would have to, like, he's a big football fan, by the way. He played college football in Texas. So he's a big football guy. So I would have to think up, you know, good football questions, because he's been such a good podcast host and a guest himself that I think his story's out there. That would be the hard part about interviewing Austin.
Yeah.
I mean, but Alan, who you got? Who's the big one?
From a football, like a fantasy football perspective, you know, like the guy, you know, I've had Sigmund Bloom on the podcast. He's fantastic. I would love to have him back again. You know, obviously when Podfather was on, he crushes all the time. And you guys know Scott Pianowski over at Yahoo. We have yet to have him on over there. He's just fantastic too. I just love the way these guys think about the game. They're, you know, when you talk about like John Hansen would be another good one to have on a fantasy football podcast, because he just is like the bridge between like the super old school and the new school. He still stays relevant, and it's just he gets it, man. So I would say if I had to pick one, John Hansen. And you know, these guys are all gettable to us, right? We could just, you know, they seem like you just send them a DM, work out a schedule. But I would say I would like to see Hansen on the RotoWire podcast this year.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, I think that's a good way to end it. And if you've ever wanted to hear me and the Podfather chop it up, it's coming soon. Just got to make sure everything works out. I don't like making promises that I'm not yet capable of keeping, but it's stick around Roto Underworld. That's all I'm going to say. Stick around Player Profiler. You will finally hear me and the Podfather go one-on-one on a podcast. It's going to be can't miss, just like Roto Wire. And when you get the world famous in quotes draft kit, you got to look at Alan's guy. I love your take on Travis Kelce. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I love Alan's take on you. You want it? Go get the draft kit when it comes out. But listen, Alan, man, thank you so much for your time. I know it's a holiday weekend. And before I go any further, I don't care what stance that you take on politics in this world. I don't give a shit. I talk about fantasy football. but I want to send a big shout out to all the men and women who have, who are, and who will protect my right to be able to do this. I don't care about anything else. They put it on the line so that we can talk fantasy football with our friends. So thank you to all those folks. I don't want to forget about the meaning behind the holiday.
Couldn't have said it better myself, buddy.
Alan?
And with saluting the troops. Can't go wrong.
I should have done it at the start of the show, to be quite honest. You know, I'm a...
Pandering to the troops.
You know, they call that a cheap pop. Speaking of Stone Cold Steve Austin, that's a cheap pop in the pro wrestling business. Listen, here's a cheap plug. Tune in Dynasty Wars on YouTube. It'll be a bonus podcast as well. But on behalf of Mr. Alan Seslowski, you can follow him on Twitter at Alan Seslowski. Follow RotoWire. Support those guys. Use that promo code rotowire.com/try. It'll unlock it for 2 days, 48 hours. Get out a notepad, write all that shit down, or just subscribe. It's also that easy as well. But on behalf of Alan, Jerry, and myself, remember, here at the Dynasty Warzone, we are just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. I'll see you back here with a mystery host next week. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Have a great week, guys.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
Won a game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.